Report. It's April the 13th. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzolo of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Bruce Bostard. He's the manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company in Ludlow, Illinois. We're coming to you today from 440 LaSalle Street behind the Chicago Board of Trade on the 20th floor in Mann Financial. Thanks to them for their support today and offering us space to do the closing market report. Rich Feltus will join us from Mann Financial in just a few moments, along with Tom Schuff, an independent trader at the Chicago Board of Trade on the grains floor. By the way, this stock and commodity market report is made possible with support from Grainfield Marketing in Normal. Grainfield Marketing can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at grainfield.com. Taking a look at how the numbers settled from the Chicago Board of Trade on this Friday afternoon. May futures in the wheat pit for the soft red at 478.5. They were up 20.5 cents on the end of the day. July futures at 490, up 16. From the corn pit, May contract there at 369, 10.25 higher. July futures 381.5. They were up a dime. And December contract at 395, up 7.75 for the afternoon. DSOATs at 261.25, up a half. From the soy complex now, May beans 737, they were up down 1.25 for the day. July at 754.75, down 1.75. And November beans at 783 were off 1.5 for the afternoon. Bean oil futures finished 32 higher at 32.97 for the May. And the May bean meal at 199.30, off 160 for the day. Over at the Mercantile Exchange, June live cattle at 92.70, up 22. And the lean hogs finished at $77 in the June contract, and they were up 45 for the afternoon. On the line with us to talk a little bit about what happened at the Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange from his office in West Lafayette, Indiana, is Mike Zuzolo of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about this marketplace as you saw the trade here in Chicago.
Well, it didn't make a lot of sense at the beginning of the week, but it sure seemed like it, you know, managed to come back around as far as making sense given the weather and given some of the issues that we came into the week with, given the wheat market and the potential damage out there. We had been told by our contacts up at EFG on Monday that the number was put at around 150 to 160 million bushels of hard red winter. Some of the numbers that have come out since then are suggesting maybe a little closer to 100 to 110 hard, and maybe add on to that 10, 15, maybe 20 million on the soft red as far as whether it's been completely damaged or whether it's just going to get tilled up and guys will take crop insurance. So everything came back around pretty nicely. It was interesting from our standpoint, Todd, that the wheat led and the July D's corn spread finally kicked into gear today after losing most of the week. We did get a new weekly high in the July wheat contract, but we did not see the D's corn take out its Monday high of 406. That's something that we took note of. Technically now the wheat looks like it has more upside to it. Can we get to that 518 contract high because it's within striking distance? We suspect the crop conditions Monday will play the definitive role in whether we can keep on heading towards that level or not. Recalling that 10% was very poor and poor, and 64% was good to excellent on the wheat report this past Monday.
How sure are you that there's 100 million that are gone out of the wheat crop?
Well, if not sure at all, quick answer, but I think if you go to the clients that we work with in Kansas, Oklahoma, Texas, Missouri, even towards Memphis, Tennessee, the Dyersburg area and those areas, if you add everything together and what they've told you rhetorically, there's been substantial damage done. The friend that we have and client that we have in Kansas has, he thinks, 100% loss, and so the folks in Oklahoma, some of those folks are probably looking at the same thing just because it got so lush, and the fellow in Kansas said it was frozen for the first 2 inches from the ground, so pretty unlikely that it's going to be able to till her out or do any good, you know, with that kind of damage.
Did you ask them if they were going to actually abandon it?
Yes, and, you know, they don't know the answer to that, especially the corn country areas like Kentucky and Tennessee. They want to, but they're very, very nervous that they're not going to have enough good seed genetics to rip it out and go to corn. They just don't know what they're going to do quite yet, and I think they're going to wait for their insurance adjusters before they make a final decision.
I take it that means they've already applied nitrogen to those acres then.
A lot of it, yeah, a lot of it. At least in Kentucky and Tennessee, that was the direct correlation we kind of made by our phone calls with them. That's exactly right.
Okay, so let's talk more about this 20.5 cent move up in the May wheat contract, 16 in the July. I know you believe that the wheat contract, wheat over the long term, and we've talked about this many times over the years.
Too much, right?
Yeah, well, sometimes you're the one out of the crew that says wheat needs to lead part of the time. You tend to like it when the wheat, I think, at least when the wheat is heading the marketplace up. You're confident that it can make a move.
We think
what we've seen today.
Yeah, well, we think technically it's set up that way. The weekly chart really looks nice. We've got what you would term, I think, a bull pennant flag. The flag has been flagging and waving quite a while, probably 7 or 8 weeks in the wind, and so a lot of pent-up energy is what that suggests to us technically, Todd, but it always goes back to you might have the powder keg there, but do you have the fuse to light the powder keg? And that's where it goes back to the fundamentals, and that's where that cold snap last weekend was a biggie. To run the wheat up on the close here to new weekly highs, I think as a way of confirming that the trade did the right thing, I want to see a lot of damage in that Monday crop progress report so that the trade feels valid, that those lower levels we tested earlier this week are something we don't have to look at for a couple, 3 weeks.
Are you getting calls from producers who followed advice last fall and went ahead and priced wheat out, but now they don't have a wheat crop and they don't know what to do about it?
Yeah, in fact, we've already counseled some of our clients on a one-to-one level to go ahead and get with their elevators and see what exactly they can do as far as buying contracts out. Not all bad news there, because many of the folks that we've talked to after coming back to us and talking to their merchandiser, they actually locked in a lot of cash on much better basis levels, and so their net loss is not that bad in some cases. So I think it really does boil down to the individual. But, yeah, between the crop insurance guy and the cash elevator guy, you better start getting that triangulation going right now.
And then if you take a look at the weekly trade on the wheat, those numbers are pretty impressive. What, up 33.5 cents in the May? July was up 31.5. Corn futures fared not nearly as well. They were up just 3 cents for the week in the nearby May. Although the December's up 8.25, those are the weekly trades, of course, not the day trades, as we take a look at those numbers.
Right, and the big thing there with the corn, I think, was you got attached to a buy the bean, sell the corn spread after the initial run-up on Monday for the corn market. The best way we classified this week was not so much based upon weather until maybe today and last night, but we really felt like, based upon the guys up in Chicago and what they were telling us and the way the market was trading, this was more of an issue of funds wanting to liquidate, because we ran the gamut up Monday, and it just seemed like we just flat out ran out of buyers. And so everybody turned into a negative, turned into a short, and the funds started to liquidate some of their contracts. There's some rolling going on, I guess, by some of the index funds. And when that was all said and done by yesterday, you kind of had the opposite extreme. It seemed like you just flat out ran out of sellers. So by the time you came into the trade today, the guys that were short were saying, we don't want to be short with the change in weather, because look what happened on the close yesterday and how we got so firm on the settlement on Thursday afternoon's close. So our mindset is that we really haven't been trading a lot of weather up until just last night and today.
So repeat that for me very quickly. You're saying that the funds wanted to liquidate corn earlier in the week, is that
after we ran higher real strong on Monday and there was no follow through and we went negative on the day, we think that probably triggered some fund related selling
on Monday
and index rolling, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then you saw a return where they were buying beans and selling corn on ideas that there weren't going to be any real planting delays. That's where the weather did play some role there, but we feel like when it comes to real true planting delays in corn and sticking prices someplace, that the trade really isn't in that camp right now, because the strong feedback we get from most of the professional traders up there, the day traders that have been there many, many years, they said point blank, if the spread is weak in the July D's and you're not at May 1, we're not running late on planting and the corn is not a buy. So that's kind of the rule of thumb we used throughout the week that tended to play out, because, like I said, we just ran up the flagpole Monday, and then we just ran out of buyers, it seemed like, and then everybody turned negative up there. And then yesterday it was the exact opposite extreme. We literally looked like ran out of sellers, and then the weather model changed, and the private forecasters changed with it and said, oh, it looks like maybe it is going to get a little bit farther north. Maybe it's not going to get as warm as we thought it was. And it seemed like that kind of developed and was a final issue as opposed to a leading indicator to why we had this kind of price action.
And so Monday will be a big day with the crop progress report. When was the last time we really looked forward to a big crop progress report?
Yeah, really, exactly. And then you've got Sunday night. How far north does this rain get? You know, I don't want to say this too loudly, and I didn't want to talk about this to our guys in Kentucky and Tennessee, but, you know, there's some areas that look like they could get 3 to 4 inches of rain in those same areas that just got clipped by frost right now. And so I think that's another big thing that we're going to be talking about Monday morning is if we really do see that kind of a system go through that Tennessee River Valley area, we wonder then, okay, are those lost corn acres for good now?
All right, we appreciate it much. Anything else to add before I let you go for the afternoon?
Just watch that RBOB gas, Todd. It seems like the June RBOB's really been on a mission. Since January 18th, we're up 36% in that June futures contract, and we think that will come back around into the corn market especially.
All right, thanks much.
Thanks, Todd. Have a great time up there.
Oh, I will. Thanks much. That's Mike Zuzulo. He's with Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Lafayette, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens each and every Friday afternoon. The Closing Mark Report, by the way, made possible by AgriGold Hybrids. Funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialist, on the web at agrigold.com. At the bottom of the hour, we'll take a look at the agricultural weather forecast with the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center. His name is Steve Hilberg. Our own AM 580's Ed Keezer's forecast, he's the chief meteorologist here at the radio station, calls for tonight in the north increasing cloudiness in central sections across the two states, cloudy, rain arriving, mixing with some wet snow in western Illinois. In the south, cloudy with rain, lows will range, says Ed, from 29 in far northwestern Illinois to 42 in the far south. And tomorrow in the north, cloudy, some scattered light rain, some snow showers in central sections, cloudy, periods of rain and snow there as well. In the south, cloudy with rain, highs will range from 38 in some central locations to around 50 in the far south. Joining us now is a floor trader, an independent floor trader from the Chicago Board of Trade, Tom Schuff. Thanks much for joining us today here on the Closing Market Report.
Thank you, Todd. It's a pleasure to be here.
Let's talk about your time at the Chicago Board of Trade. How long have you been a floor trader?
36 years.
So you've seen a lot of things happen on the floor. Is it different each and every year, every season that you go into the marketplace?
I think that every market's different. You think that you start out the same, but you really don't. Every market has its own set of circumstances, its own set of economics, its own weather problems, the innuendos. Every market that I've seen has been different and exciting.
And over those years, what's been the biggest change on the floor at the Board of Trade? Is it volume? Is it the side-by-side electronic trade currently? Is there something else that changed the way that the floor works in your mind?
I think when we removed position limits, or we started to remove position limits back in the late 80s, where prior to that, the spec was able to control be long or short 600 contracts. And that was gradually removed over a period of years. And this allowed the large CTA funds, the hedge funds, the macro funds to come in and trade vast numbers of contracts as a speculator. Commercial, of course, always had the hedge exemption, and could trade pretty much what he wanted to. But over the years, you've had these major swings that have developed because of the money flows, and quite frankly, you've had moves in these markets that have been money flow moves and have not really been basically agricultural economic moves.
Explain that just a bit. What do you mean?
You'll have a money flow from there was a conscious decision. This is my opinion again, Todd, but there was a conscious decision made by the fund some 2 weeks, 2.5, 3 weeks ago to move out of ethanol-based products into biodiesel-based products. So you've had funds basically selling corn, buying soybean oil. Soybean oil stocks are record high, yet soybean oil is at a record high price. And I think this is a result of money flow. It's a result of funds liquidating ethanol or corn, buying soybean oil or biodiesel. No, there doesn't seem to be any economic justification. Ethanol pencils, biodiesel doesn't pencil.
Yeah, but why would they make that move? Why would that decision have been made? It doesn't seem to make that much sense, really, does it? So what is it on paper, in their mindset, do you think, that made that money flow to move the marketplace?
I think they took a look at the acreage report, and they said, no beans and lots of corn. So therefore, we probably need to buy, we need to own biodiesel and not own corn anymore. I think that essentially, the stocks number got increased, and the acreage number was increased dramatically. So I think it took the pizzazz out of ethanol, and it added the pizzazz to biodiesel.
Is this going to be a problem for corn as we go through the planting season? Should it end up, in fact, that we end up with a more normal growing season than it appears to be at this point? So if we come through this season at the end of the year under normal growing conditions, does the lack of having these funds in the marketplace cause more serious damage than what we've seen in the last 2 weeks?
No, I think that they've become less of a factor in the corn market. As of right now, I don't think we have anything planted in the Corn Belt. I mean, this 3% that was planted on Monday is fringe states. So we've got a major job ahead of us. I can't answer that question, what the funds are going to be at the end of August or September, because we have to get this crop in the ground right now. And this is a major concern. I just listened to your weather forecast, and that does not sound conducive to planting crops, especially in the area that you just covered. So, I think that the planting progress report on Monday is going to be very, very important. The money flow is with us for good. They love commodities. Okay, don't forget, we make money when it goes up, and we can make money when it goes down. These guys are traded stocks forever, right? And they make money when it goes up. They have found a whole new era to invest in and to put their money in. So they're here to stay. And so you're going to have these money flows that at times are not based upon agricultural economics.
So they're probably used to this in the financial side of the marketplace. Have you been able to talk to friends that follow that, and are they capable of understanding how those money flows work?
Well, I think you'll see overnight crude start to rally and corn will rally overnight. Okay, so people are placing crude and corn in the same kettle of fish. Yeah, so it's become, we are trading things other than just the fundamental agriculture economics of corn, soybeans, or wheat. We're looking at a whole global trade with energies, financials, not less to mention, the crop issues that we have in the Black Sea, the crop issues in Australia, the issues or the lack of issues in China. That are very difficult to understand. We had a serious break earlier in the week because it looked like China was going to export, or in fact did, announce they were going to export anywhere between 1.5 and 3 million tons of corn, which was an absolute surprise. We weren't prepared for that. Nobody had thought that. We thought that China was pretty much about done with their exporting of corn. We thought, so now the U.S. government's going to have to change their export numbers for China, have to raise them, which means that takes business away from us, takes business away from somebody else.
So as a floor trader, as you sort out all of these things in your mind, does it mean for you as a floor trader that this extra volume, these extra ideas that come into the marketplace are good for you as a floor trader, but how are they, in your opinion, for agriculture as a whole, and maybe down on the farm? Have you thought about what kind of impact that might be having?
That's two questions. For me, the markets have always been a challenge, and whether my competitor was a hedge fund out of New York or whether my competitor was an agricultural commercial here in the Midwest, the challenge was always to try and understand and figure out what I thought the market was going to do. From a farmer's point of view, these money flows are going to make the price swings a lot bigger than they've ever seen. So the highs are going to be a lot higher, the lows are going to be a lot lower, and at times the economics don't make sense. But I think that you're going to have to spend a lot more time if your livelihood is agriculture, in understanding the markets and watching the markets and trying to place your hedges a lot more astutely, because the opportunities are going to be there. And I think it's a challenge, but I think it's a challenge that can be met because the information age, it's here. And there's really, the flow of information is so rapid, so easily available that I think it can help the farm community in maximizing their profit potential. And that's what it's about.
Why don't you address very quickly for me what you think the potential to move the corn market higher through the planting season might be and assess where things might go under differing conditions. Say the crop isn't as far along or we aren't really planting in the next 2 weeks. Where might you suggest we'll be?
I'm going to answer that kind of backwards. I had a private survey done, and I took a look at wheat. This was about 3 or 4 days old. I see Kansas 35% moderate to severe damage. I see Missouri 60% moderate to severe damage. I see Arkansas 78% moderate to severe damage. Mississippi 40%. This takes wheat away from being a feed grain. Wheat is back as a food grain. Okay, so the corn market is going to have to perform now to produce. In other words, we're not going to be able to shift this FIS, this feed, back to wheat. So we're going to have to feed corn. The biggest problem that we're going to have the next 3 months is going to be weather. We've got to, A, get the crop in the ground, okay? We've got to then get ample, you know, we've got to get timely and regular moisture to grow this crop. We've got to pollinate the crop. And the market is looking for, I mean, we've got, I can see numbers, exports continue. We're up 15% from last year. If they continue, the government's $200 million too light. Now, some people think they're $200 million too heavy in exports. So, I mean, the numbers are all over the ballpark right now in terms of what we're going to export, what we're going to feed, and what we're going to grow. I think the real challenge right now for agriculture is to get this crop in the ground and to get it to start to grow in a timely manner. And we the demand is there. The demand is there for our crops.
Tom Shuff, we appreciate you being with us. Tom Shuff is an independent trader at the Chicago Board of Trade. He joins us here on the 20th floor with Mann Financial as they're providing his service to us this afternoon. We appreciate all the things that they've done. And Rich Feltus, who's the Senior VP and Director of Commodity Research, has been a gracious host today around the corner. Apparently not going to make it around the corner to visit us right now at the moment, but will for Commodity Week. You can hear him tomorrow morning at 11:30 a.m. On the line with us, as he usually is on Friday afternoons, joining us from the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company today is Bruce Bostert. He's the general manager there. Good afternoon to you, Bruce.
Good afternoon.
Tell me about basis levels in Ludlow.
Well, been a relatively quiet week, really, here on the rail numbers. The Gulf numbers chopped around a little bit on nearbys. We saw some gains, saw it back off, but ended up steady to maybe a penny better at the Gulf for corn this week. Beans basically dead steady for the week. Processor numbers have been quiet. Corn levels unchanged. Beans gained a few cents over the course of the week. Cash movement has been really pretty muted this week.
And then have you talked to producers yet and what their feelings are about how wet their fields are and how soon, if at all, they might start to get worried about the field?
They are, how about concerned, but not quite worried yet. You know, and probably depends on the producer. You know, it has been cold. If it had been warm and wet, maybe we'd be a tad bit more antsy. It's hard to get the antsy about being in the field when there's snowflakes blowing around outside. But concerned, we are getting to the point now where it's going to be important to put a couple weeks together back to back with some warmer temperatures, get these fields dried out. I had one guy out in the outer lobby here just 15 minutes ago saying maybe if it holds off and we don't get too much rain, maybe he could get in by Thursday. We'll keep our fingers crossed and knock on wood and everything else we can do on Friday the 13th to hope they're right, because it's getting time now.
And your bids for the day are?
And for today, tell you the truth, I've been in a meeting and I don't have them set up yet.
Don't worry about it. We're running late. We'll just say bye and thank you much.
Thank you.
Bruce Bostert is the manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois, and joins us here on the Closing Mark Report on this Friday afternoon. In 2 minutes, we'll take a look at the agricultural weather forecast with Steve Hilberg. Your local newscast comes up right now.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. Illinois' laws of succession in the governor's office are in serious need of clarification, so says a University of Illinois political science professor. After New Jersey Governor John Corzine was seriously injured in a car crash last night, the head of that state's Senate quickly assumed temporary power under the state's constitution. But Professor Brian Gaines says it's unclear who in Illinois would determine if the sitting governor was able to perform the duties. Gaines says the state dodged a bullet in 1994 when then-Governor Jim Edgar had emergency heart surgery. The courts could have become involved had the lieutenant governor at the time followed through with plans to resign, where Edgar hadn't recovered as well, and power had shifted to the Democratic attorney general. The Blagojevich administration is expected to ask a judge to remove the state attorney general as its representative in a lawsuit. The legal action involves federal subpoenas that the governor's office doesn't want to reveal. Attorney General Lisa Madigan has said those subpoenas should be made public under open records laws. The subpoenas are related to an investigation into state hiring. Police in Rantoul and Paxton are trying to find a 20-year-old woman who's been missing for more than a month. They're asking the public for tips in the disappearance of Jamie Harper of Paxton, who was last seen at a party in Rantoul March 9th. She was working at a Rantoul factory up to that time. New students at Southern Illinois University's campuses in Edwardsville and Carbondale will pay about $1,000 more this fall than last year's class. The university's Board of Trustees signed off on the increases yesterday. New full-time students at the university's flagship Carbondale campus will pay $540 more per year in tuition. That's a 9.3% increase over last year, for a total of more than $6,300 a year. The Edwardsville increase is 9.9%. The emerald ash borer is causing problems for some residents of northern Illinois who are just trying to clean up their yards. A quarantine meant to limit the spread of the tree-killing bug restricts the transfer of logs, branches, and other materials. That's making it difficult to dispose of yard waste. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. We're coming to you today from the 20th floor of 440 LaSalle Street, not too terribly far from the Chicago Board of Trade. Man Financial hosting us this afternoon. We're visiting with Rich Feltes, an alumnus from the University of Illinois. We appreciate all that he's done for us today. He'll join us on Commodity Week tomorrow morning. You can hear that program at 11:30 a.m. Vic Lespinos of A.G. Edwards will be with us as well. We hope you tune in. We'll try to post it to the website a bit late this evening. We have to fight Chicago traffic to get back home and post-produce that one. Hope to get it up by about 9 o'clock tonight if you'd like to download it. By the way, the Carl Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety is a division of Garner Foundation Hospital, and it's proud to underwrite the ag programming here at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, you can call 217-383-4606. Steve Hilberg of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center now online from the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. Hi, Steve.
Good afternoon, Todd.
We're going to have a wet weekend?
At least the first half of it. It's going to be a pretty miserable day tomorrow. Just cut right to the chase. Cold, windy, rain and some snow, pretty powerful storm system coming out of the southern plains, and we'll clip through here fairly quickly, and then it looks like a big weekend for the East Coast, but it will pretty much make tomorrow a good day to stay inside and do something else.
Sounds ugly for outside work tomorrow. Once we get past that, do we clean up?
Yeah, actually, next week looks to be rather nice for the most part. We may run into some chance of showers, scattered light showers about midweek, maybe Wednesday or so, and then again next weekend. But believe it or not, we're actually going to have a period of near normal to a little bit above normal temperatures, maybe on a day or two, but generally near normal with highs up near 60 and some pretty nice weather next week for a change. So that should help start to dry things out, as long as next weekend system doesn't appear to be too heavy right now, doesn't put too much rain in it. We may be actually doing some decent drying here over the next week or so.
And will we have winds along with the temperatures?
There will be some breezes. There will be some high pressure moving over us early in the week, so we're not going to have anything. We're not going to have any 15 to 25 mile per hour winds here the early part of the week. As we get toward the later part of the week, winds may start to pick up again as the next low pressure system approaches. But it won't be wouldn't be as breezy as we might like it to dry things out in a quick process.
Steve, we appreciate you being with us today.
All right, Todd.
Steve Hilberg is the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank. They serve the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural communities with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information available from Doug Slayton in Galesburg at 309-341-5003. First Midwest Bank, Mittenburg, FDIC, and Equal Housing Lender. And that is today's closing market report. Remember to tune us in tomorrow morning at 11:30 a.m. for Commodity Week. Rich Feltus of Mann Financial and Vic Lespinos of A.G. Edwards will be our panelists, and we'll have a special guest to take a look at the energy sector. It all happens tomorrow morning at 11:30 on Commodity Week. It's our weekly analysis of what's happening in agriculture. From 440 LaSalle Street in Chicago, I'm Todd Gleason.